Good evening. Good to be here. It's good to learn more about your medical sharing plan, which I don't believe we're a part of, but I find it very interesting, and it's a blessing to hear about these things. So we're here to discuss business, the sort of thing that's more often taken care of these days in giant glass office towers in some big city by an insurance company. Person could ask, what are we doing talking about that here in a church? What kind of place really is the church? So we're going to think about that question. What is the church? What kind of a place is this? And what business do we have talking about medical business here tonight? So we're going to start in Galatians 6. Which was interesting when I heard your minutes, and I heard that you talked about Galatians 6 a couple of times last year. Seems to be an appropriate passage, apparently. We'll start in chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So what kind of place is the church? Well, it's a place where we help each other. It's not a place where individuals are expected to come and just and only worship, to have their own private spiritual experience. That's not what church is about. It's not a place where people come and just mind their own business, spiritually or materially. But it's a place where we help each other, where we bear each other's burdens. So the context of this passage is in Galatians, which is about the law and the Spirit. And in right here, Galatians 6 comes right after Galatians 5, and the last part of 5 where we picked up, and he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And so this... The context of 6, 1 through 10 is in the context of walking in the Spirit, walking in the fruit of the Spirit. And this is the kind of people that are walking in the Spirit. So these people who are walking in the Spirit, we go right into verse 1 of chapter 6. If a man is overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual, restore that person. So right here we're told... that this is not just about people minding their own business and being individualistic. Rather, it's about looking out for each other spiritually. First of all, here is a person who is struggling, and we are called to help that person. And the person who is called to help him, it says, ye which are spiritual. Now, that doesn't let anybody off the hook. All of us as Christians are spiritual. If we are walking in the Spirit, we are all called to walk in the Spirit. This is not pointing out some sort of special person up on a pedestal who is spiritual. No, this is just a believer. A person who is walking in the Spirit as believers are. We are called to help that person. Restore this person in a spirit of meekness. And then verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens. And so this verse, bear ye one another's burdens, is often used, and probably appropriately, it's used to describe helping each other physically or materially. But in this context, it's very much talking about helping each other spiritually. But as we'll see, it really is about both. This passage is about both things. You can't really separate helping each other spiritually from helping each other materially. Church is not just about what we do spiritually together, as this passage makes clear. So bear you one another's burdens. Why? Because that is fulfilling the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? Well, interesting that he brings up law here, because Galatians is all about not being under the law. But he says now you should be under a law, the law of Christ, which I think what he's talking about is the example of Christ giving his life for others. That's what Christ did. And that's the example Christ set. And that's what he's calling us to do, to give our lives for others like Christ did. When I was younger man than I am now, I confessed at a council meeting of some issues that I was having, some struggles that I was dealing with. And after I confessed that, I maybe had confessed this at a previous one. Somebody noticed my struggle. And this brother, older brother, he came to me and he said, I've heard you talking about this. I'd like to help you. Would you like some help with this problem? And I said, you know what? I would. And I really appreciate that. And he helped me think through it. He prayed with me. He met with me regularly for a time. He brought some accountability to me. And that really did help turn things around for me. And I'm just very thankful for that man and what he did. And I think that's what this is talking about. The church is not just about patting each other in the back and saying, God bless you, but it's about really getting involved in each other's lives when the need is there, bearing each other's burdens. Verses 4 and 5. Verses 4 and 5 talk about every man proving his own work and every man bearing his own burden. So, you know, I think whenever the subject comes up, the subject of bearing each other's burdens and looking out for each other, you always have to ask the question, well, what about personal responsibility? Isn't that a thing? Well, yes, it is. And here it is. Paul thought about it too. The Holy Spirit inspired him to write about this too. People don't get a free pass just because there are other people that are looking out for them. Every man must bear his own burden and take responsibility. And you know, whenever you have church, you have people. And whenever you have people, you have different kinds of people. And you have people that seem to always carry a greater share of the responsibility than other people. And you have other people who seem to get a free pass or just for whatever reason don't seem to take their share of the responsibility. And that's true, I think, wherever we go. We can't get away from that. It's part of brotherhood. And it's our calling to forgive each other in these things. Just forgive each other regularly, because it's just part of church. There's always somebody that's... you know, and this thing of sharing financially, you know, there's so many opportunities to to possibly be judgmental about how each other's use of finances is, and how that is making it hard for other people who are helping them. There was a brother back in my church in Virginia who bought a vehicle, and this vehicle he bought had a when he bought it, he didn't get the title in the transaction. The person he bought it from said that they would send him the title later. Well, they never did. And so he had this van without a title. He couldn't do anything with it. It was just sitting there on his property for months. And he was back and forth with these people multiple times, and nothing ever came out of that. He couldn't do a thing with that vehicle. And so he had spent thousands on it. So we helped him buy another van. You know, the church helped this brother buy another van. And we could have said, you know, that was kind of foolish of you the way you did that. That's your fault. But no, we didn't do that. We're always going to make these mistakes. And sometimes people, it seems like, make these mistakes over and over. Like, there's somebody I know in another church that they have had a different vehicle every year of their married life because they're always having accidents. I mean, just, they're accident prone. And now they're, this person is probably 70, 75, and it's the same story. And the people in that church, they believe in helping each other, and they do help this family, even though I think it's pretty hard on them. It's not easy to be in church with other people, and it's just not. But that's what we are called to do, and that's, the church is made of people. We're all different, and we all take different levels of responsibility. Even though we are clearly called to take responsibility for ourselves, it's never going to be perfect. And in our family devotions this morning, we read in 1 Peter 4, that we are to have fervent love for each other. For love, he says, covers a multitude of sins. And I was there telling my children who struggle with this, I said, look, you need to get this, you need to figure this out, because when you grow up, you're going to be in church and you are going to deal with this all the time. Because, you know, your mom and daddy, we have a hard time loving each other in church sometimes. And they've looked at me like, what? We didn't know that. Like, yeah, we do. And it doesn't go away when you get big. We just maybe have a bit of a better time covering it up. But you folks here, my children, who are so obvious in their dislike of each other, they really need to work on that fervent love for each other that covers a multitude of sins. So we must look out for each other, bear each other's burdens, and we must also encourage and expect people to take personal responsibility, as it says here. Verse 6 says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. So I think this is about supporting a teacher or a pastor materially. And then verse 7 and 8 is about sowing and reaping. Again, back to this theme of walking in the Spirit. If you live in the Spirit, you're going to reap the benefits of living in the Spirit. Verse 9, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There is a reward coming for those who persist in doing good for other people, for looking out for other people, bearing each other's burdens, looking out. That's what we're called to do. We're not always rewarded for that here. In fact, we may get very tired of doing that. But he says, there you will be rewarded. You will reap. And then in verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So here is a clear call to help people materially, and especially to those people who are in church with us, in the kingdom, people who are of the household of faith. We bear each other's burdens. You know, this thing of helping each other in church is not just here in Galatians 6. It is all over the New Testament about helping the poor, helping, and especially helping those who are in who are fellow believers. And I'm just going to go through a number of verses quickly. Ephesians 4:28. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer. That's a personal responsibility thing coming out again. But must work, doing something useful with their own hands. And the reason, though, for this personal responsibility is so they can give to other people who may not be responsible, right? So work, doing something useful with their own hands that they may have something to share with those in need. Luke 6:35, but love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Again, here is a call to give to people who may not give back, who may not be responsible. It's not our job to make them be responsible with what we give them. It's just we are called to give to people even who won't give to us back. Because our reward is not here. God will take care of that. Our reward, it says, will be great. We'll be children of the Most High. God is watching out for us, taking care of those things. Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Generosity will be rewarded. Proverbs 19:17, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and He will reward them for what they have done. Hebrews 13:16, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Romans 12:20, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. So there is a call in Scripture to give to all people who are poor. Not all people who are poor, we are called to help. Not looking for something in return, thinking about God and what He is pleased with and how He will reward us for those things. But we are especially called to help people who are our fellow believers. As it says in Matthew 25:40, this is the passage about the sheep and the goats and being called before Jesus. And He says, when I was in prison, you ministered to me. When I was hungry, you fed me, you clothed me. And then you said, when did I do this? And He said, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. So He is saying, in saying these brothers and sisters of mine, He's talking about our fellow believers, I believe. He's pointing out the priority of helping people who are in the church. Romans 12:13, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Again, the Lord's people, practice hospitality. And I get this picture of a church who is sharing both by giving to each other who are when we see our brothers and sisters in need, and by offering hospitality. Those two go together very much. It's reminds me of the picture of the church in the book of Acts, in the first part of Acts, where the church was together breaking bread, going from house to house, and they shared physically with each other and made sure that nobody had any needs. That's the picture of a beautiful church that loves each other, that's working well together, that's looking out for each other, bearing each other's burdens. 1 John 3:16-18, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. So an incredible question. If you have material possessions, you see a brother or sister in need, but you don't do anything, how can the love of God be in that person? And then John 13, 34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. There's a song, they will know we are Christians by our love. You know, people look at us and we may not know it, but they know if we're taking care of each other or not. And our reputation of people that take care of each other, that goes a long way in letting people know what it's like to be a part of this thing called the church, what it's like to be the people of God. Those are the people that take care of each other. They will know that we are his disciples, Jesus said, if you have love for each other. And that love actually means something. It's not just something you say to each other, but it's something you do, that you act on, that you live out. It reminds me of a story that a brother at our church in Virginia often told. This was a number of years ago. He had cancer. He was, maybe it wasn't cancer, actually. It was something that he had an operation on his brain, and he was really out of commission. He's a farmer, so he couldn't do his farm work, and this was around the time of corn harvest in the fall. And so a bunch of brothers from our church rolled in there with tractors and silage wagons, and they helped him harvest his corn while he was just sitting there in the house watching them. Or he couldn't do much. He had a neighbor that came over to talk to him. The neighbor was there watching all of this, and he was just shaking his head in amazement. He said, I've never seen anything like this. This is incredible. He said, this is how it ought to be. This is just so amazing. This man was just really blessed by this love that was made visible here. This is how it ought to be. It reminds me of a phrase in this song, Heart with Loving Heart United, the very last phrase. It says, in our fellowship, the promise of the new humanity. That's what the church ought to be. A place where we see in our fellowship a piece, at least, of the new humanity, of the humanity that will be, I believe, when all things are made new. We'll never be perfect here, but we always want to have at least a picture, a preview of what that will be. You know, sometimes I start to feel guilty a little bit. I have in the past. I felt guilty that the church is not involved in more social causes, more social activism, if you will. And that, you know, we don't take political positions. We don't fight for justice in this area or that area like my neighbors do. But then I have to realize this over and over again. The reason we don't fight for those things is because the church is the place where a truly just and good society is supposed to be happening. The church is the society of the redeemed, and this is where it's supposed to be happening. We don't need the government to make laws to make things work in the church. And the church should be the refuge from all that stuff out there, where people come, where they experience a life that is just and right, where people take care of each other, where there's freedom from racism, where families work. And, you know, that's the church, the society of the redeemed, where life works. So we don't fight for laws against abortion, because when people are in the kingdom, they don't kill their babies. We don't fight for laws that give handouts to the poor, because in the church, poor people are helped And they're encouraged to grow and take personal responsibility. We don't fight for laws that create universal free health care, because in the church, we take care of each other's needs as commanded in the scripture. So that's the kind of place the church is. We ask, why do we think about these things in the church? Because church is about life. Church is about helping each other with life and about living in this society of redeemed people, living the way God has in mind for us to live. What kind of place is the church? It's a place where we love each other, help each other materially, a place where we give and don't expect payment in return, a place where they will know we are Christ's disciples by our love for each other. Thank you.